Isn't it so good having our Dominican brothers and sisters here today? I love them so much, and it's so good to have them here. If I don't know you, my name is Bob. I am one of the pastors here, and I want to tell you a little bit about my connection with Dominican Republic. So the first time I went on a missions trip there was 2012, and I went down there thinking, man, we're going to help them, and we're going to make an impact on them, and myself and that entire team left there being more impacted by them than they possibly could have been by us. And it was so good. And at that time, I got to meet the man running the mission that we went down to, which was Vision Trust, Nelson Paulino. And Nelson, if I have to say one thing, he is a man after God's heart. And I have the privilege now of not just calling him a brother in Christ, but a close friend. And so as we continued to go down every year, probably about 5-6 years ago, Nelson said, I think God's giving me a new mission other than Vision Trust. So what he started doing is he started Casa Misionera. And what Casa does is he will call churches and schools throughout the country and say, hey, give me a couple of your students that are in love with Jesus Christ and would love to go to college. And even if they don't have the money, we're going to get them to college. We'll take care of their college, but they have to do a 4-year leadership program through Casa Misionera. And so we went down the first time and I got to witness what they're doing with these students. And so far, about 20 have graduated after their 4 years. And there's probably 40 more in the program, but had the privilege of watching him lead these students. And Nelson's goal is this. He wants to raise the Christian leaders of tomorrow today. That is their vision. And with that, he hopes to change an entire country. And so it is exciting to watch what they're doing and how he quickly changed what he was doing and went on a new mission for God. So we are in a collection of talks right now called Snapshots. So would you give a big hand for mi hermano y mi amigo, Nelson Paulino.
Gracias. Muy buenos dias. Yes, we can do this in Spanish, right? I know. Thank you so much. What an amazing opportunity for our students in Casa Misionera, for myself. Thank you, High Church, all your leadership. I praise the Lord because I had no idea. 5 years ago when we started Casa Misionera, no idea that this day I was going to be here speaking to you. So the Lord has been really good, and I praise him for each and every one of you. Amen. And he brought me today in his will to challenge somebody in this room. Might be one person, might be 10. Challenge you because you have been given talents. You have been given opportunities, experiences. You have studies. You've been working. You have a level of influence. You know people. You have friends. You have family. You've been trained in so many different ways. Just like the man that we're going to be reading about in a minute in the book of Acts chapter 9, you are equipped to do God's work. In the book of Acts chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, we will begin to read about this man whose name at the moment is Saul. And the Bible says, meanwhile, I got to say before I read this, English is not my first language. So if I mispronounce one or two words here, I will just pray in Spanish, and you need just to follow me on that, okay? Okay. So, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belongs to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Okay, that's the end of verse 2. I'm sorry. And so this is the mission that this man has. And he's a very equipped, very educated man that has been trained for years. And he had all kinds of credentials and he has all kinds of access. If you think about it, he had an appointment with the high priest. He had doors open to talk to such level of authority, which I believe was not only a religious authority, but it's also a very high in politician authority. So in Dominicans, we will say Paul, in this case Saul, he had all of his problems resolved. He had probably a nice job, good access of influence and people that he can talk to, doors open everywhere to the point that he can actually meet to this level of people, that the high priest, and get letters signed from them to do this that he calls his mission. Later in life, when he's already a Christian and he's trying to testify about what happened to him, he gives a little bit more details about his credentials, about the things that he's been through, the things that he have learned, and who he really is. And it's interesting to see all of those details. So I'd like to invite you to read with me in the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 4, 5, and 6, some of the things that he was testifying as part of his gift and talents that he had. So I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, on the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, in regards to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. And we read more of that description that he gave in another chapter in the Bible, in the book of Acts, chapter 22, and verse 3. He elaborates a little bit more about his qualifications. Verse number 3. I'm a Jew born in Tarsus of Sicilia, but brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of the ancestors. So this is the man who, of all of these qualifications that he has and all of this background that he can exhibit and all the influence that he had, the studies and all the resources, he got himself on a mission. Can you repeat that word? Mission. Mission. He was determined to get that work done. And he had all the tools and access to do it and the possibilities of doing it. One day, everything changed for him. The day that he's doing this mission, he's on his way to accomplish. In verse number 3 of chapter 9 of Acts, he then declares what happened. He said, you know, I was on my way to Damascus, and in that journey, suddenly, and maybe you want to repeat that word with me, suddenly, a light came all around him. And now he is in the dirt, and he can't see, and he hears his voice, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? That day, the life of Saul changed forever. That was the moment everything begins to change for him. Something happened to me also in my life when I was 20 years old. That's 29 years ago. I know I look like 35, but I'm 49. But when I was 20 years old, I was involved in every possible ministry opportunity in my local church. Since I grew up in my church, since I was a kid, I was involved with the kids ministry, the youth, the worship team. I was outside in the evangelization work that we were doing. I was never involved in the women's ministry. That's not the one I did. But in every other ministry possible, I was involved in everything. I had the blessing to be registered in college, which in my family, that was a miracle. Just to give you an example, all the way from Adam and Eve history, all the way to my father, I was the very first one to go to college. And on my mother's side, I was the third one to go to college. So if you were to ask me, Nelson, where are you going? What is your future? What do you think to do? I would probably never verbalize, never say it out of my mouth, I'll be doing ministry full time, because that was not part of my vocabulary. But something happened on the evening of October 30, 1996. It was a Wednesday night, and if you want to hear the whole testimony, you have to come to the Dominican and give me 3 hours. So that night, two guys tried to kill me because they wanted my scooter that I was driving. And as they tried to kill me, it was a very difficult moment. I was taken to 3 different hospitals. Everybody thought I was going to die, but the Lord spared my life. And 6 days later, I was declared completely healed. And as that happened, now I'm just a guy in my local church, being invited to share my story, services after services around the country, so many youth groups, so many churches. And then my pastors and my mentors and my friends were like, Nelson, you know, I don't think you're going to be doing computer coding anymore. I think you need to think about other ideas, other choices for you. Maybe you're going to become a preacher or an evangelist. You know, we need to think about ministry. And that was the moment that everything changed for me when I was 20 years old. I think that the Lord brought me out today to give you that moment, to give you that suddenly moment. It might be that you realize you read something on the Bible recently that it's like, this is the moment that I was speaking to me. Maybe watch a movie, maybe watch a video on YouTube or Facebook, or you just listen to a crazy Dominican preacher on Sunday morning. And then you get inspired to change something in your life and ask the Lord the same questions that Saul asked when he was in his mission. Now, remember, Saul had a mission. Can you say with me, mission? Now, we are Dominicans, and you have to shout out loud. Mission.
Mission.
There you go. He had a mission, but the moment that Jesus comes into the scene for him in that way to Damascus, his mission changed to a submission. Because now the guy who was so powerful, and he had all this influence, all these resources, is now in the dirt. And his posture has changed. He's now speaking from a different position. He recognized that he's not on top. He's now in a very humble situation. Not only his posture's changed, but it's also his perspective changed. Now, every time he talks to this light that he doesn't know who it is, he says, Lord, who are you? Lord, what do you want me to do? I think those are very important questions that we all have to ask. Lord, what do you want me to do? And his priorities changed because from there on, everything that he had in mind was completely changed. Now he's taken to the city by people that he didn't know. Everything is new for him. I think this is the kind of things that we have to consider in our life today with the resources that we have and the influence that we've been given and the gifts and talents. Lord, what is this that you want me to do? You see, Saul was a very, very self-sufficient and self-oriented man. You can imagine, because of all of his resources, that he was very determined in the things that he was doing. But in this moment, when he has this suddenly situation, his mission, can you repeat the word mission?
Mission.
His mission, hey, you did it right this time. His mission changed to an admission. And now he is in the middle of the situation where he has said many, many times, you know, I can see for myself. But now he can't see. He's blind. He can't see anything unless somebody guide him. And he will say many times, you know, I can do it. I can steer myself wherever I want to go. But now he's found himself in a situation where he can't go unless somebody takes him. He could have said many times, no, I can go. I can lead. I can do things the way I want. But he's in a very humble moment where he can do much of that, but follow this voice. He's sitting in the dark. He's in a what we call a solitary confinement. He's being broken. This man, this powerful man is being broken so he can be used. And all of these gifts and talents that he has received now be used for the glory of God. Jesus teaches a lot about this self-dependency and all this auto, I can do myself things and how he gave us an example. So I want you to read with me in the book of John, chapter 5, verse 19 and 20 and verse 30, how Jesus himself, the man, our Lord, with all the power, how he says about himself. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever his Father does, he, the Son, also does. Verse 20, for the Father loved the Son and chose him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than this so that you will be amazed. Verse 30, by myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Wow, I think those are great examples of all of us to consider. How do we make decisions? And what do we do? Are we doing something that I this is what I want to do? Or Jesus, what do you want me to do? Can you repeat one more time? Mission.
Mission.
Saul was in a mission, but then suddenly Jesus comes in the scene and now his mission is changed to a co-mission. Let's read one more time what was his mission and we will make a comparison about his mission and now this new co-mission that he has found in Christ. Let's read again one more time, verse 1 and 2 of Acts chapter 9. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any of these who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. What a mission he had. But now with Jesus, he has a commission. And let's read what that commission is that he has and also that you and I both has. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, 19, and 20. Then Jesus comes to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Wow. The mission is changed to this commission, and now his authority is changed. He has now a higher authority. Before he was submitted to the corrupt and empty high priest, and now he is submitted to the holy Jesus Christ himself. He was committed to a broader scope that was about Damascus, but now he's more wide open. Now he's sent to the whole world, which is better. He has a much better purpose because before he was in the mission of introducing Christians to the prison, but now he's introducing prisoners to Jesus Christ and be free. What is better? He had a mission to go into the city of Damascus, but now into Jerusalem, bring those prisoners to Jerusalem, but now he's bringing people to the new Jerusalem. You see, Jesus has much better plans than your own plans. And I encourage you today to ask, "Lord, what is this that you want me to do?" In the Dominican Republic, we are training the Christian leaders of tomorrow. And I'd like to introduce you to two of our students who will share their stories about how they, at their own age, have been determined now to say, "Lord, use me with the gift and talents that you have given me." I'd like to introduce you to my friend, Cesar, who is coming this way. I met Cesar in a very unique way. He was helping in one of our dynamics distributing food, but he was in every picture that was taken that night. And I was like, "Who is this big guy in every picture we take?" And he was very close to one of the girls. And I asked, "Is he trying to be her boyfriend or what?" So.
Great. God bless you, church. It is so awesome to be here. And thank you very much for the warm welcome that you have given us so far. So, well, as Nelson was saying, I joined the ministry in 2023, and the story of how I became a student is kind of funny, because in 2022, some of the students from the first class of the ministry, they went over to my community to do some food distribution. And as they were there, they needed help, and I was there. So, and as we were like visiting different churches, they were taking pictures of the dynamic. And so in every picture that they were taking, I was like in each one of them. It was like uncomfortable at the moment, you know, like you'd be like, "Yeah, why are they taking pictures?" but I was cool with it. And so a couple days later, I had a meeting with Nelson and my pastors. And so I was sure everything about the ministry. And so that's how I got to become a student of the ministry. So this has been a life-changing ministry. So it's only been 3 years since I joined. And so I can tell that my life is not the same as it was in 2022. And people around me actually tell me that. So my relationship with the Lord has grown and has gone deeper. I mean, in some ways that I could have never imagined before joining the ministry. And I find myself now doing things that I never would have imagined before joining the ministry. Like being here in Arizona, speaking in public in front of all of you, that was a challenge for me, especially speaking in English. So it's a big testimony of how my life has been changing so far. And so, Amen. So this ministry has encouraged me to do things, I've never thought I was going to be doing. So, like, for example, we in the Dominican, we don't have such a thing as a reading culture. And so now I find myself reading a book every month, which is one of the dynamics of the Mission House. So that is something that has helped me in my walk in Christ. And also it has encouraged me to now mentor guys in my church and help them keep faithful in the walk of the Lord. So, for example, early this year, I told Nelson at the beginning that I wanted to be used translating stuff for the ministry. And so a couple months later, we had a ministry that visited the Mission House. And so all of a sudden, Nelson just asked me, like, Caesar, stand up and translate. It was challenging at that moment, but I did it. So then a couple months later, that ministry, they reached out to me and they asked me to go with them to Puerto Plata, which is in the north of the country, about 5 hours from my house. And so I was with them for like 2 weeks, helping translating. And that was awesome. It was life changing. And so I'm really thankful for the opportunity that the Lord gave me to be part of this ministry, because it was something that came unexpected in my life. And it's proof that when we trust the Lord, He shifts our plans towards His will.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Very, very proud of this young man. The next student is actually a graduate student. Her name is Chris Bell, and she might be coming up this way. She and I met when she was only 17 years old. She was a tiny little girl in the middle of her congregation, but her pastor thought, Pastor Tommy Nelson, this girl has a fire inside her. Let's find out what that is. Let's hear her story.
Hello, everyone. My name is Chris Bell. I'm very happy I came with the team last year as well. I'm very happy to be again and now sharing my testimony with all of you. So I come from a small town in the Dominican Republic called Nagua, which is... which is 2.5 hours away from the capital and also the town where the Heights team got to serve in. So praise the Lord for that. I come from a family of 5, with me being the youngest. And I came to Christ when I was 16. It was there I started to serve really quick in worship team and also youth leadership team. And that's where my pastor found me and said, hey, I have this longtime friend that's the Lord has called him to create this ministry for young people. And you will get to practice your English with American people. And I think you will be good for it. And I was like, Pastor, hey, I don't know if this is good for me. I don't know what you're talking about. But if you say that it will be good for me and that I'll learn a lot, then I will do it. Late 2021, I got called by Nelson to go with this mission team to translate. So you can imagine, 17-year-old, I speak English, but I've never translated for anyone at that point. And I was a little bit like, hey, okay, Nelson, I will go. It was a week long, but by day 2, and that experience has like something had like exploded before my eyes. I went from not had like this type of experience before to realize that this was something I was being called by God to do, that I wanted to be in mission, that I wanted to be in ministry. Fast forward to 2022, I get contacted by this organization in my country. So now I'm traveling all over the country to translate and also help with their mission teams. And all of a sudden, I'm on a plane to Colombia to serve with this same organization in the border with Venezuela. That trip for me was another confirmation that the Lord was calling me to ministry. 2024, and I graduate from the program, so I'm not one of the students anymore, but it became very clear to me that this was the Lord's calling for my life, that I wanted to be in ministry. I'm going to school to be an English teacher, and I'm almost done with that. But I could realize that the Lord had a bigger plan for my life. And at that point, I knew that this was something I wanted to do for my whole life. 2025, January 2025 comes, and now I am working with the ministry in the Dominican Republic. I am supporting the ministry with short-term mission teams logistics. And I'm convinced, and I become more convinced every day that this is the Lord's will for my life.
Amen.
That this is really what He wants me to do, and it's serving ministry.
Yeah. I cannot tell you how proud I am of this young lady who joined us as part of our family and began to learn about that her gifts and talents could be used for the glory of God. And being a teacher is great, but the Lord had a much greater plan for her. And now we actually welcome in the Dominican this year already 10 mission teams. It's a lot of work, a lot of logistics. But Chris Bell, she was in charge of a lot of that. So I challenge you this morning. You've been given all these possibilities. And I, you know, if you ask me, I don't know, but I can see the country and people around here. You had all this access, technology and education and resources. Just ask yourself, Lord, what is that you want me to do? I'd like to lead us in a prayer, and I will pray for you in the Lord's first language, according to my version, which is Spanish. So my angels know what I'm saying. But I'll be praying for you so you have that moment of understanding that you've been given the opportunity to serve the Lord with your gifts and talents full-time or part-time, at least as a volunteer. So would you close your eyes and pray with me? Señor Jesús, muchas gracias. Gracias por esta hermosa oportunidad y gracias por esta iglesia tan maravillosa. Padre, aquí están tus hijos. Los presentamos delante de ti, Señor, para que tu Espíritu Santo los toque. Inquiétales en su sueño. Inquiétales en el camino, en el trabajo donde están, en el camino donde van, en sus casas, a ser usados por ti. Revélate a ellos, Señor, y tráeles el entendimiento de que las herramientas que tienen son para tu gloria. Bendice esta iglesia, bendice esta casa, en el nombre de Jesús. Amén. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Have a wonderful day.